right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians. A couple of weeks ago, we got started, kicked off on that book there, and I was telling you about how Paul, the Apostle Paul, loved that church, and it was a pattern for a church. And when you begin to get into the when you begin to get into what a real church is and what it's for, what begins to happen is you begin to realize that we have some shortcomings, and America has some shortcomings as far as churches are concerned and what they're supposed to be about. And we noticed right off the bat there that there's a there's about 11 things that the Apostle Paul, he commends the church here in 1 Thessalonians about. And one of those is the work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope, the fact that they were followers of Paul and the Lord in affliction along with joy. They were in samples of how to act during afflictions. They sounded out the word of the Lord. He commended them for having faith to Godward and that it was spread abroad. He commended them that they received the word of God, or they received the word of men as the word of God, not as the word of men. And they were followers of suffering. They had faith and charity, and they had brotherly love. And those are things right there that Paul was commending them for. And nowhere in there was he commending them about how many people went to church, how big their church was. Where they were as a community in the community, were they upstanding citizens, any of that stuff right there. What he was talking about was, here's some things that I want in a church. And when you look at the Apostle Paul, he knows something about starting churches. He was at the church there in Macedonia when he first got started. And when he first got started, they sent him out from Macedonia. The Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. And as soon as the Apostle Paul got saved, he began to preach Jesus Christ. And he began to preach Jesus Christ, and then he ended up back at Jerusalem. And then they sent him to Antioch. Eventually, he ended up in Antioch. And when him and Barnabas ended up in Antioch, the church at Antioch got together and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send these guys out, and they're going to start churches. And then at the end of that first missionary journey, Paul comes back, and the Bible says that they did what they were supposed to do, and they were reporting back to the church there at Antioch. And what they did is they started 10 churches. So the Apostle Paul knows something about churches and knows something about what it takes to get a church going. And the Apostle Paul, one thing he did, as soon as that was over, he said, let's go back and talk to those guys and begin to encourage those churches. And he knows what it takes to have a church. And here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, obviously contrasted to 1 Corinthians, he is going through 1 Thessalonians and commending them about all these things. And he's commending them about their work of faith, and their faith produces works. And talking about love, and talking about patience of hope. And so he's sitting here and he's bragging on them about these things. And like I said before, it's not about how many people, it's not about how much money you give, it's the fact that they were given. And they were they weren't whining and crying and griping and complaining because they had suffering or they were in affliction. The Bible says that they were taking it with joy, as a matter of fact. And then they were examples. They were examples to other churches during these afflictions. And he was bragging on them because they were sounding out the word of the Lord. So we need to sound out the word of the Lord. We need to get it out. And they received the word. You know, you'll hear people talk about, the Bible was just written by men. One thing he commended the church on was the fact that they didn't receive it as the word of men. They received it as it is in truth, the word of God. And he also, they were followers of Paul in suffering. And they had faith and they had charity. And in chapter 4, verse 9, they had brotherly love one to another. They loved each other. And these are all things that's going to make a church grow, and it's going to make a church do what the Lord's called them to do. Now, where we were at the last time, we were in verse 2. And he says this, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And the point that I was making was that Paul not only taught that people need to pray, Paul believed in prayer. He believed in praying. He believed in praying to God and getting God on the scene. And when you go through the New Testament there, and if you would go through and just go through and mark all the things that Paul prayed about, all the things that Paul was expecting from God through prayer and what he did through prayer, you'll begin to realize maybe our prayer life is lacking a little bit. I mean, when you think about the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian to ever live, the greatest Christian to ever live, in my opinion, just because of what God says about him, but now there's a lot of people I don't know that could be greater Christians. But I know this, he's a lot better Christian than I am. And he believed that he needed prayer. He believed he needed it. He not only believed he needed it, he set himself to it. He thought his life depended on it. He thought his ministry depended on it, on prayer. And again, I'm going to ask you this morning, it's been 2 weeks since I was up here, how's your prayer life? Is it any better? Have you got your prayer list? Have you gotten better at praying? Are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying for your husband? Are you praying for your aunts and your uncles? Are you praying for your country? And that's the thing that begins to hit home with us. It's so easy. Church becomes entertainment when we enjoy listening to certain preachers and they make us feel good. Or they preach a good message and, boy, that was a good message about prayer. And then we walk out and we don't pray. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's entertainment. That's watching TV. That's watching a motivational speaker. That's what that is. I'm asking you this morning, did you pray this morning? Did you get down on your knees? Did you get down on your knees and say, God, listen, I need you to talk to me this morning during church. God, I need you to clean me up. I've been running my mouth this week. I've got problems with people in church, God. People make me mad. I'm bitter toward people. I'm not going to get a thing from you this morning, God, if you don't clean me up. And you confess your sins. Have you confessed your sins this morning? I'm not trying to get anybody to answer, you know, out loud. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring it to your attention and to realize, you know what? If you've got those things in your life, God's not answering your prayers. He's not answering your prayers. Don't you want the blessings of God in your life? Do you want God to bless your husband, ladies? You want God to bless your wives? Do you want God to bless your children? I mean, we do, don't we? Don't we want God to bless our lives? Don't we want God to bless them? Amen. You know what I've begun to realize is that we want the blessings of God in our life, but we don't even know how to go about getting the blessings of God in our life. What about the favor of God? Don't you want God to favor your children? Well, brother, I just don't know if God ought to favor my children above somebody else's children. Listen, I want the favor of God. I want my children to have the favor of God. I want God to look on my children and favor my children. I'll let Him figure out who He's favoring above the rest and who He ain't favoring. That's up to God. God's righteous. God's clean. He's just. You know what? And God does favor other people. God favors some above others, and there's a reason why. And it's got to do with, God said this. He said, to the merciful, I will be merciful. To the froward, I'll be froward. You know what God does? He rewards us based on how we act. And if God wants to favor one child above another one because of how this child acts, then guess what? He's just. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let God figure all that out. I want God's favor with my children. Do you talk to your children about getting the favor of God? Do you talk to your children and say, listen, you know what you need? You need God's favor in your life. You ever just sit down and talk to them about it? And say, you ever talk to your wife and say, you know what we need to do? We need to favor God. You know what our problem is in America? We got people who believe they can run giant corporations without the blessings of God. We've got preachers that believe they can preach without the blessings and the favor of God. We've got dads that believe they can be a father without the blessings of God. We've got mothers that believe they can be a mother and take care of their children and raise their children without the blessings of God. We've got kids who think that they can live their life how they want to live their life without the blessings of God. That's our problem. You know what you need? You need the favor of God. You need the blessings of God. And Paul, what Paul did is Paul prayed. Paul prayed, and when Paul prayed, in verse 2 here, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And he begins to tell them what he was thanking God about what they did, about what they were committing him for. Paul believed in prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in prayer? Look at, do you want God's favor? Look at Genesis. Get Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. You know, as a preacher, I should covet the favor of God. I should want God to bless the messages that I preach. Not so I look good or that people will think I'm a good preacher. But God's called me to do something. God's called me to preach. And God's called me to teach. And so as I stand up here for an hour this morning, and you sit here for an hour this morning, I don't want it to be in vain. I want God to do something. I want God to change somebody's life this morning. I want somebody to come up to me and say, listen, you know what? Something you said today made a difference in my life. That's what I want to hear. And not to make me feel good, but to make me feel like that I'm doing what God's called me to do. And I want the favor of God in my life. I'll tell you, somebody who had it was Joseph. Joseph had the favor of God. In Genesis chapter 39, look at verse 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph was in prison. Things were bad in Joseph's life, and God was still showing him favor. Do you have the favor of God in your life? Have you ever even thought about having the favor of God in your life? Do your children have the favor of God? That's what I'm coming across this morning. This is what I'm talking about praying about. Do you want God to have? Do you want the favor of God? Look at Deuteronomy. Get Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Talking about praying. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 23. And he's sitting here going through the 12 sons here, and he's telling them about what they are and what they're about. And in verse 23, he talks to Naphtali. And he says this, and of Naphtali he said, this is Deuteronomy 33, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. Could God say that about you this morning? You think you got the blessings of God in your life, or do you think God's against you this morning? Well, that's a big question, ain't it? Would you like for God to be against you this morning? Against your children? Against your husband? I ain't talking about the devil being against them. I'm not talking about the world being against them. That's bad enough. I mean, you ain't got to figure about that. The world's against you. The devil's against you. The devil hates you. Is God against you this morning? Is God against your life? Is He against your finances? Is He against your husband? Is He against you, your wife? Is He against your children? Is He stopping your children from being blessed this morning? Is God against you? Naphtali, here's what he says about Naphtali. He says that he's full with the blessing of the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 26. It says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Samuel had the favor of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Bible says that she had the favor of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus Christ had the favor of the Lord. Acts chapter 7, go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Talking about David. Acts chapter 7. And this is Stephen preaching, and when Stephen's preaching, he's going through here, and what he's doing is he's basically preaching the whole Old Testament. And he gets down here in verse 45 and he says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. David, he's talking about David in verse 46, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. And he's talking about David wanting to build a house for God. And David said, not you, but your son, Solomon. And what he says in verse 46 is, who found favor before God. Samuel was interested in having the favor of God. Joseph had the favor of God. Naphtali had the blessings of the Lord and the favor of God. Mary had the favor of God. Jesus had the favor of God. David had the favor of God. Look over in Psalm 30. Go back to Psalm 30. Do you have the favor of God this morning? It's not just one thing that's in the Bible. It's not just one thing. You can have the favor of God. Do you want the favor of God? I want the favor of God in my life. I don't want God to be against me. I want God to favor me. I want God to bless me. I want God to take care of me. I want God to see things going on in my life and say, you know what, I better take care of that. He don't even know this is getting ready to happen. And God takes care of it, and I don't even know anything about it. I just want to trust that God's favor is on me. In Psalm 30, Psalm 30. This is a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. In his favor is life. Do you have the favor of God this morning? You got the favor of God on your home this morning? Look at verse 7. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. When you got the favor of God, you're strong. You got the favor of God, your home's strong. Your family's strong. Your kids are strong. He's saying, God, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. The favor of God. And you sit here this morning and people say, I'm sure I got the favor of God. Do you know how to get the favor of God? Have you even read any references and looked at any of this stuff? I'm just asking this morning. I got thinking about this not long ago, and I got thinking, you know what? I don't know if I've got the favor of God or if I don't have the favor of God. But I know this, I want the favor of God. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. You know, people live their life the way they want to live it. And they live how they want to live. They act the way they want to act. And then they say, God, bless my life. Is that the way you do? Do you give God the glory and the honor and the praise that He's supposed to get? Or do we just live our life the way we want it in the flesh? Act the way we want to act, gripe and complain, murmur and complain, sin against God, and then say, God, bless it? God ain't going to bless it. It don't work that way. Do you have the blessings of God on your home? Do you have the blessings of God on your wife, on your husband, on your children? That's what I'm talking about this morning. Do you have the blessings of God at work, or do you feel like everything's against you? Maybe God's against you. Boy, ain't that a scary thought? Maybe it ain't. You know, we sit back, God, look at what this guy's doing. And look at what this guy's doing. And look at this. And God, look at what I'm going through this problem, God. What's the problem, God? Why are you treating me like this? Maybe God's against us. Maybe you're looking at your child this morning and thinking, well, God just never blesses him. Just seems like things are always wrong and things are always messed up. Maybe God's against your child. Would there be a reason why God might be against your child? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm talking about this is real stuff. This is so real that David is sitting down and he is asking God, give me your favor. Do you want the favor of God? We're talking about praying, calling on to God. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation. You see what he's asking for? He's asking for favor. He's asking for favor. Look at Psalm 119. Think it's important? Some people think it's important. So important they pray for it. Psalm 119. Look at verse 58. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. He's after it with his whole heart. He's wanting God's favor. Do you want God's favor? Do you even think it's important to have? Are you asking God for it? Are you crying out to God for favor? Do you want to know how to get it? Do you want to know what keeps you from having the favor of God? Get 1 Chronicles. People say, I just don't know what to pray for. Here's something you can pray for, the favor of God. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Right in the middle of all this Chronicles right here, where you got so-and-so begat so-and-so, and his son is so-and-so's son, and so-and-so is his son, and he's the uncle, and he's the nephew, and all that stuff through the first 9 chapters of Chronicles. And if you read your Bible from start to finish, then you had to go through these. Sometimes I get a little fast going through the first 9 chapters, and I'm not really even trying to pronounce these words. But in the middle of all this, in chapter 4, in verse 9, the Bible says this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now look what it says in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You ask for the blessings of God. In the middle of all these names, God, you know what he's doing? Jabez changed his life because he asked God for his blessings. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. It's one of the blessings of God. And here we are as Christians, and we don't even ask God for the blessings of God. We don't ask Him for His favor. We're talking about prayer this morning. Talking about praying. Look at Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah. It's on and on and on and on in the Bible. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless your family. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your husband. He wants to bless your wife. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless your grandchildren. God wants to bless you. He does. He really does. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to ask. God wants you to ask for his blessings. Go back to Psalms. Go back to the book of Psalms. Okay, Brother Jack, we get it. I want you to get it real good. I want you to understand that this is something that people that we look at in the Bible that were great men and great women in the Bible, they didn't take it lightly. Wouldn't you hate to think that the reason God is not blessing your home is because you've got God against your home? Wouldn't that be awful? Look at Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 5. David begins to pray here in verse 1. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Are you praying? Do you want God to bless you? Look down at verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Do you want the shield of God's favor in your life? You want God to shield your children with his favor? Is that what you want? David did. Look at Psalm 45. David believes it. David believes that the favor of God is worth getting. Psalm 45. Verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Look down at verse 7. Look at verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Is that what you want in your life? Look at chapter 50. Chapter 50, a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Is that what you want God to do when you call on him? You want him to deliver you? Look at verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. You know what I want? I want the salvation of God. I want God to be in my life. Go to Leviticus chapter 26. Last place, Leviticus chapter 26. You know what I want? I want God to favor me. I want God to favor my children. I want God to favor my wife. I want God to favor my grandchildren when I have them. I want the favor of God. You know what people do? We sit here and we let America determine our dreams and our wants. That's what America does. And you know what we do? We get so caught up with what we want in this world, and we don't even think about the things that we should want. And what we should want is the blessings of God. God's blessing on our life. We should want the favor of God. In Leviticus chapter 26, the Lord's talking to the children of Israel, and he's telling them if they walk the way they're supposed to walk. Look in verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Look at verse 6. And I will give peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. You praying for America? Praying for America? That's based on how we act. You know what we want to do? We want to live in America the way we want to live. We want to do the things that we want to do. We want to consume it upon our lust. And then we want God to bless it. You know what the problem with America is? It ain't the lost people. It ain't. It's Christians. The populace in America are more Christian than they are lost in America. If Christians would live the way they're supposed to live and would cull the things they're supposed to cull, they would receive the blessings of God. And when I say Christians, I mean me. You know what we try to do? We want to live our life the way we want to live it, and then we ask God to bless it. And he says in verse 6, I will give peace in the land. And people have problems in their life, and they don't have the favor of God, and they look at God and say, what's the problem? What's the problem, God? Go back to, let's just look here. Well, hold your place here for a second. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 59. The Apostle Paul believed in prayer. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul believed in was having the favor of God in his ministry and his life, in the churches that he had supported and got started. In Isaiah chapter 59, God gives us some insight to something. God's just. God is just. And God is a God that is against evil, and He's against sin. The Bible says that God hates the workers of iniquity. He hates them. Contrary to what you hear in this world, God hates workers of iniquity. He hates them. Isaiah chapter 59, He says this in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." God not answering your prayers? Maybe it's because you got sin in your life. You see, here's what we do. We want God to bless our life. And then we begin to look around and we begin to see things go wrong, and it's almost like God's against us. And we sit back and we say, "God, it's like You're against me." God's like, "Yeah, I am. I'm not going to hear your prayer because of sin in our life." And see, what we do, we gripe and we complain. And that's a sin. We gossip and we talk about people and we say, "I wasn't going to say this, but, well, don't tell nobody, but..." And then we go and we gossip. And you know what happens? God gets against us. You know what God did in the Old Testament? He killed people for murmuring and complaining. He did. That's how bad He hates it. That's how bad of a sin it is to gripe and to complain. And you know what it does? It becomes a habit. We begin to gripe and complain about everything. And you know what? God gets against us. And we want God to bless us, but we gripe and complain. He's not going to bless us. You say, "Brother Jack, I know people that gripe and complain, and God is blessing them hand over fist." You don't know what's going on in their prayer closet. I know people that have been hooked on pornography, and they could care less. And I know people that have been hooked on pornography, and they have absolutely got down on their knees and cried, telling God they were sorry, and "I cannot get over it, God." That's what they told me they prayed. And God blessed them. You say, why? Because they got clean, and they hated their sin. You know what I know about Samuel and Joseph and David and Mary and those people that had favor with God? Every one of them are sinners. Every one of them. But you know what? They wanted the blessing of God. So what did they do? They got right with God. That's what He told Cain. He said, "Sin lieth at the door." He said, "Just get right, Cain. That's all you got to do." Boy, wouldn't we be in trouble? I heard a preacher one time say, "Boy, wouldn't we be in trouble if God killed everybody for griping and complaining today?" Well, there'd be a lot of funerals to preach if we just had preachers that wasn't dead to preach them. The point is, we all gripe and we all complain and we get God against us because of our sins, and we act like it's nothing. And God killed more people in the Old Testament for murmuring and complaining than He did anything just about. And we act like it's nothing. And you know what we do? We want the blessings of God on our kids' lives. And you know what we teach our children to do? Gripe and complain. You teach your kids how to gripe. Do you teach them how to complain? Do you? Maybe your kids would say, "I'll tell you what, my mom never gripes. I can stand here right here today and I can tell you I never hear my mom gripe. I never hear my dad gripe." Could they give that testimony this morning? We teach them to gripe and complain, and then when we do that, God says, "I got to be against them. I want to bless them. I want to be good to them. I want them to be able to trust in me. I want to be a good father to them. But you've taught them how to sin. And now they won't get right, and I have to be against them." Is it your fault this morning that God is against your children? That's what I'm talking about, how important this is, about praying, about making sure you've got a list to pray about, making sure you confess your sins. Is God against you this morning? Is God against your children this morning? Just think about griping and complaining alone. A preacher said, when you gripe and complain, you sin over 132 times. He said, now I don't know if that's true or not. He said, scholars better than me has figured all that out. Now, the Bible says rejoice. There's one sin. You just sinned because you didn't rejoice because you're griping and complaining. And then he says, and again I say rejoice. There it goes again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, boom, 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 boom. You gripe and complain. You sin. And when you sin, God says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. And you know what the devil does? The devil sits back and laughs at you and just makes fun of you. So look what you got your children doing. This is hilarious. You do a lot better job against them than I do. You know what we do? We teach our kids to sin. What the Bible says? The Bible says if somebody does you wrong, take it. And you know what we teach our kids? Son, you ain't got to take that. You ain't got to take that. Teacher's stupid. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go talk to that teacher. That kid sticks. Is telling a teacher off more important than having the blessings of God? You say, what do you mean? The Bible says God resisteth the proud. He resists the proud. Do we teach our kids to be proud? You ain't got, that coach is stupid. He ought to have you in there playing. You're a lot better than so-and-so. Yeah, I am. What is that? If you think you're better than somebody else. That's pride. That's pride. And then God's against your children, and things are going wrong, and you think, God, what's going on? Maybe it's because you're teaching them pride. You're teaching them how to have pride. The Bible says God resisteth the proud. Do you want the favor of God in your life? You say, Brother Jack, you think I might be the problem? Well, I don't know. I sure have to get it right with me. The last 3 weeks, my wife will tell you. My kids will tell you. I've set my kids down. And I've showed them this stuff. I said, listen, you better have the blessings of God. You better get God to favor you. You better. Go back to Leviticus chapter 26. God told those people over there, He said, if you'll do this, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you. Leviticus 26:13, He says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. What a blessing. But the chapter don't stop right there. Verse 14, but if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague. That sounds bad. Whatever that is. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Look at verse 17. And I will set my face against you. God's face set against you this morning? Because of your sins and your iniquities? Oh, my husband, you just don't know how he's been acting lately. Is it worth losing the blessings of God? Is it worth God setting His face against you because of how you're going to act towards your husband? Or how you're going to act toward your wife? And you do it in front of your children, and your children get that same attitude. You know what you need? You need the blessing. You don't need God to set His face against you. I mean, it's even if He didn't give you His blessings, if you just got it to where He wasn't setting His face against you, you're to the good. The devil can mess you up. The world can mess you up. God can do a lot worse than that. God can really mess you up. And when God sets His face against you, because of your pride or because of your sins? My goodness, what a way to live. And I'm afraid that we live that way. I'm afraid that we sit down and we think, I got up and prayed this morning, cha-ching. You know, I prayed before church this morning. Did you confess your sins? Is God this morning sitting here against you while you sit in this pew? Is His face set against you this morning because you've got bitterness in your heart? You say, like what, brother? In 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about brotherly love. You got problems with people in this church? I can tell you how you got problems with people in this church. Here's a test you can do. Let's say somebody comes up with an idea. You know, well, that's a neat idea. Somebody else comes up, oh, that's a neat idea. And then somebody comes up with an idea. Why has he always gotten, he always thinks he's, and he's, anybody else can come up with an idea, but one person brings it up that you don't like and you have a problem. Then guess what? You got a problem with that person. Somebody raises their hands, praise the Lord, and you get a blessing. Some lady shakes a handkerchief and you get a blessing. But somebody else does it. I don't know who they think they are. And you automatically get a bad thought in your mind. You got a problem with that person. You got a problem with them. I'm not sitting here trying to get on to you. What I'm saying is, I want you to have the blessings of God in your life. What are you teaching your kids? What are you doing? What are you saying to God? I would rather harbor ill feelings toward this person than I would have your blessing. God said, okay, bud, then you got it. You want my face against you? You got it. Always gossiping. Always griping. Always talking. I'll tell you, I got so-and-so. You did. Maybe you got yourself. God said, your sins have separated you, and I'm not going to hear you. I will set my face against you. Verse 17, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth. And if ye will not yet, for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Look at verse 19. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Remember what he said about favor? What's favor do for you? It gives you strength. You see what God does? He breaks your strength because of pride, because of sins. And God goes against you. And then if you won't get right, he says, I'm going to do it seven more times over. And he says, he goes down through here. Look at verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. He says that three or four times in that passage. So what is that? That's people who want to be a Christian and they want to come to church and they want the blessings of God. They want to do right, but they don't do right. And God says, because of this, you're going to have problems. God says, I am just. I am pure. I look at this stuff and I think, I just hate it if I think I have taught my kids to be full of pride and to have heart and to harbor feelings against people. You know what people do? They talk about people in front of their children. And you know what those children do? They harbor ill feelings toward people. And then God's against that child for doing that. And then this parent is saying, why aren't you blessing my kids, God? Because he can't. Sometimes we are our children's worst enemy. Do you pray for your children? When your child comes home and they're mad at a teacher at school, you know the best thing for you to do is to say, shut up, son. I better not ever hear you talk about a teacher again in your life. Do you understand me? I will wear your hind end out. You say, why? Because I want the blessings of God for my child. That coach ain't playing your kid. Son, you played. You set yourself in a situation where you got to go by him. He's in control. He's the one that's doing the playing time. You sit there and shut up and you have a good attitude. You say, why would you do that? Because you want God to bless your child. But that's not what we do. We're always taking our kids' side against everybody else in the world. And we're always going in there. And even if you do go talk to a parent or you do go talk to a coach, don't let your children know. Don't talk about people in this church in front of your children. Don't talk about Sunday school teachers. Don't talk about the pastor. Don't talk about the song leader. Don't talk about the piano players. Don't talk about people sitting in the pews. Don't talk about people raising their hands. Don't talk about people agreeing with the preacher and nodding their heads. Do you cause your children to abhor other people? Because if you do, God is going to be against them. He says, I will set my face against you. That's what he says. Look at Psalm 45. I want the blessings of God. David wanted the blessings of God. Samuel wanted the blessings of God. Mary had the blessings of God. Joseph had the blessings of God. Psalm 45, we were here earlier, talking about the blessings of God in verse 2 and verse 7. Go over to verse 50, or chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now look at verse 16. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction? You hate instruction? You hate it this morning for what this preacher's telling you? And casteth my words behind thee. See, this is the words of God I'm giving you this morning. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contendest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil. Our mouth gets us in more trouble than anything. And look what he says, and thy tongue frameth deceit. You know how you frame deceit? You ever, somebody say something and you don't like that person, and then you kind of frame it around a situation and make it deceitful and make them say something they didn't say? Well, I just think, they just told me off this morning. What'd they say? And then they tell you and you're like, huh? So you frame deceit because you want to be offended by that person because you don't like them. And you're sensitive, and so a person sits there and they frame those words in such a way to be offended. And he's saying, this is the people that I'm not going to deliver in the day of trouble. This is these people. You know how bad we are? Tell you how bad we are. We don't even know how to apologize. We don't even know how to apologize. Not the fact that you won't do it. You ever listen to people apologize? They get done apologizing, it's almost like there was absolutely no way they could have kept from doing what they'd done. If they do apologize, most time they don't even apologize. Most time the way people handle that, you say, why are you talking about apologizing? Apologizing is humbling yourself. If you've offended somebody, apologize to them. And this is the way you apologize. You go to that person, you say, listen, brother, sister, listen. I said this, and you said this, and then I said this. I was completely 100% out of line. I was 100% wrong. Would you please forgive me? That's it. That's how easy that is. And then we say, well, but we wasn't completely wrong. They did. We don't even know how to apologize. Or we say, I know I smarted off to you, brother, but I just had a rough day today, and then I had this, and I don't even know how to apologize. That's how bad we are. You say, why? Because we have pride. Do you know how to apologize to somebody? I mean, you're getting this, well, you know, I hate to do this, but, well, so-and-so, it's just the way they are, and if I don't handle it this way, then they're going to, what? Are you apologizing? Wait a second, I thought you were apologizing to me. I feel like I've still done something wrong to offend you. You know how it goes? All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. That's it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'll finish with this story. David Gibbs, who is a Christian Law Association founder and is a great lawyer, and is a lawyer that's actually, I look at something like that right there and I think, man, I would love for one of my kids to be doing something that David Gibbs is doing. When David Gibbs gives an interview, you know what he asked him? This is what he said. He says, when I'm doing an interview for a lawyer, somebody wants to do something, that they want to be on my in my law firm, I say, let me see your prayer list. And they say, excuse me? I want to see your prayer list. If we ain't got God on this ministry, then we ain't going to have a ministry. Do you have a prayer list? And he said, you'd be surprised 90% of the time they get up and leave. Right there. That's the first question. David Gibbs is interested in doing something for God and having the blessings of God. He said he went to a motel room one night and he was late. He got in there really, really late. He said he walked in, he got his room, and he went upstairs, and he didn't have any running water. And it was a newer motel, and he didn't have any running water. So he calls down to the desk, and he said, I don't know what I was expecting this lady to say. He said, but what she said wasn't what I expected. He said, I said, ma'am, I don't have any running water. And she said, I know. And he said, I'm thinking, you know. So, well, this room was really supposed to be somebody else's,
But he griped so much, we moved him. And you were so late, we didn't think you were coming. So that you got it. And he said, that moment right there, he said, I did bad. He said, young lady, you need to apologize to your mother for the day you were born. And he said, I started going off on her. David Gibbs, man of God. What did it take for him to do that? Didn't have no running water. After he got done, he said, young lady, are you still there? She said, yes, sir. Have you got anything to say? She said, just this. I go to a Bible college not far from here, and you come in and preach every year. And every month, I send you a few dollars. That's all I got to say. She hung the phone. He said, I thought, phew. He said, I walked down there, and I got on my hands and knees. And I said, girl, I wouldn't want nobody to talk to my daughter like that. I wouldn't want anybody to talk to my wife like that. I was totally out of line. And I'm sorry. That's how you apologize. See, we do so many things wrong that get us to have God against us. And the point I'm trying to make this morning is this. I want you as a church to want the blessings of God in your life. I want you to desire God's favor for your children. I want you to desire God's favor for your spouse, for your family. Is your family in trouble today? He said, call unto me and I will deliver thee when you're in trouble. But if you're doing this other stuff, my face is going to be set against you. How hard is it to just get over people that you're bitter toward? To just get over with problems that people have and just say, I am 100% wrong. Do you even know how to apologize? Can you do it? Can you humble yourself enough to just say, I'm sorry? You know who you should start with? Your children. If this is where you're at. Today when you get home, say, listen, I have taught you a way to live. I've provided for you. I've made sure you're going to school. I've made sure you've done the things right. You're an upstanding citizen. But spiritually, I have got against you. And I'm sorry. I am sorry. And here's what you need to do to have the blessings of God. And I'm going to begin to pray for you. You're going to have to start taking it when people do you wrong. You're going to have to learn how to apologize. You're going to have to quit griping and complaining. That's just a few sins. If you want God's blessing in your life, folks, you better start getting cleaned up. All right, let's take a break.